Hi, Bob.
Hello,
Tony. All right. John chapter 8 and verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins, and whither I go, you cannot come. Verse 21 again, Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins, and whither I go, you cannot come. Wow. Those Pharisees and scribes were a hard-headed lot, weren't they not? Now, the scribes and Pharisees that drug the woman in, the one taken in adultery, that have now been attacked by their conscience, if we can put it that way, or convicted by their conscience, in the sight of all that are gathered together in the temple, now they have gone out one by one. But there are still some Pharisees that are left in this gathering in the temple. And in verse number 12, we see them again. Jesus speaks again, verse number 12, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then immediately the Pharisees reply, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Now, what have they done this in the face of? Since this is one continuous scene that we're looking at here, it starts with Jesus going into the temple early in the morning, the Feast of Tabernacles having been concluded, many having stayed over to hear his teaching. They now crowd into the temple. We see the woman taken in adultery, and then those who brought her in, convicted by their conscience from what Jesus writes on the ground and says to them, they've gone out, and now we see other Pharisees here, and they say, Your record is not true. You're bearing witness of yourself. Let's stop and consider this just for a moment before we press on. Now, what are they saying this in the light of? What could they have known? As a matter of fact, what did they know up to this point?
They knew the miracles that he had.
They certainly did. And in recent memory, as in a few minutes ago, they've seen some of their own convicted by their own conscience and going out. But if we back up from that, well, yes, they saw his miracles. What else could they have known?
He knows that they know the case that he brought, that his testimony of John the Baptist, his testimony of God the Father.
Sure.
That he is the Messiah.
Yes, remember when the Pharisees and scribes sent people down to question John the Baptist concerning who he was? He gave a testimony. Then there was the baptism of Jesus. On and on, they've had a string of evidence that they have chosen to ignore. Well, then we get to verse number 12 and see Jesus say, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What did he just say to these Pharisees, and of course everybody else that's gathered together there? It has a direct bearing on what's going on in the scene, doesn't it? It does indeed.
He's saying, I am.
He is saying that, but what is he saying in addition to that?
If he's the light of the world, then they're walking in darkness.
Yes. And why are they walking in darkness? Because they have deliberately made the choice to walk in darkness. Because here he offers them one more time an opportunity to come to him so that they might understand his words. Well, they decide that they're not going to do that and begin afresh to rebel and say, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Well, what if you went to the baptism of John? Didn't they come down to question him about that? What happened when Jesus came to be baptized?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit bore record of him. And what did the Holy Spirit say at the baptism? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Would you say that that was a pretty open testimony? I think so, too. And so Jesus reminds them of that. You know, I am bearing record of myself, but what about the testimony of my Father? Have you forgotten about that? Verse number 18. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. Is that an established fact? Did they know it? Pardon?
There were more than two witnesses that saw it.
Yes, far more than two witnesses that saw it. Of course. So, have they made a deliberate decision to walk in darkness? Certainly they have. And then Jesus said, verse number 14, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Could they have told if they wanted to? Of course, all of the prior witness. He's not saying this in a vacuum. He's saying, you can't tell who I am. Why? Because they couldn't hear his words. Why? Because they decided that they would not hear his words. They're doing this against a huge body of testimony. This isn't a casual mistake that's being made here. It's a deliberate mistake. It's a deliberate rebellion in the face of great light and great witness. Verse number 19. Then they said unto him, where is thy Father? What has he been telling them all along?
Well, didn't they accuse him?
Being born of fornication? Yes. In fact, we're going to see that in this very chapter. They're not going to be content with what they've said up to this point. They'll press it further. But they ask him the question, where is thy father? Well, Jesus answers, you neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father also. If he had known me. Is he advancing a proposition here that would be impossible? Is he saying here, you could have known me? Certainly he is. Does God ask the impossible of man? No. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Now, we're going to see that phrase a number of times in the book of John. His hour was not yet come. But do you suppose at this point they would have liked to have laid hands on him? Yes, I think that's patently obvious, isn't it? And then we come to what we want to entertain for this morning. Verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. And whither I go, you cannot come. Doom. Is he beating around the bush about this? Is he couching this in language that's difficult to discern? I don't think so. This is pretty plain speech. Well, what does it mean here? I go my way. Let's take a look at that. What was he talking about when he said, I go my way? Well, let's start in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21, shall we? The discerning among us already know where we're headed with this. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, who heard him say this? Yes, the 12 heard him. His disciples heard him. But the scripture says in verse number 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. Did he have other disciples as time goes by? Do you think that this knowledge was only for the disciples? No. Is he teaching publicly? Is he attempting to conceal this? Now, sometimes the Lord did speak privately to his disciples, but is there a hint here that this was to be kept in confidence? No, not at all. So Jesus said, I go my way. Well, what is his way? And could these Pharisees have known this? So what is he saying in verse number 21 here? How that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. What did he just tell the disciples here? Yes, but not only that. Remember the scene in John chapter 8, because that's what we're comparing this to. I go my way. Well, wouldn't it have been prudent of those Pharisees to say, well, what is your way? Well, shouldn't they have already known that? Yeah, they should have. Remember the testimony of John the Baptist? What did he say about Jesus right out in front of everybody? Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, which references what?
Sacrifice.
Yes, this is the real Paschal Lamb. All that came before were shadows and types. This is the reality. Let's turn to John chapter 10 and verse number 9. John chapter 10 and verse number 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. And the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So this takes a miracle that Jesus has done into account. And what was the miracle?
Opening the eyes
of the blind. Well, I think that relates to what we're looking at in John chapter 8.
The light of life.
The light of life. He that believes on me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Well, here we find something that is a powerful witness. And what do the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers and that whole lot want to do with it? Well, right away, in verse number 19, we see that this is done openly. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, he just says it to the disciples, so somebody might think, well, maybe the disciples never talked about this with anybody else. Well, if they didn't, Jesus is talking about it now, and he's not doing it in a corner because he does it in front of the Jews, and we find them right here in verse number 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. What sayings? He's telling them about the way he is going. I go my way, and ye shall seek me, but you won't find me. Well, what is his way? What did he say to the disciples in Matthew chapter 16? What is his way? I go to Jerusalem and do what? Be killed by who? And then? Be raised again? his way? Could they have known this? They were witnesses of this. You could say, well, maybe they were ignorant about what happened in Matthew 16. Well, they're not ignorant of this, are they? They see the whole thing. And what did he say? In verse number 10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who do you suppose the thief is here? Pardon?
Satan.
Well, yes. Satan.
Satan's.
Of course. Satan's behind it all. And he is a thief and a robber, but he uses human hands to carry it out. Verse number 11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What's he saying here? I go my way. What's my way? He's telling them right here, this is my way. This is what I came into the world to do. I go my way. And you shall seek me, but not find me. Why? Because whither I go, you cannot come. Why? Because you're just hirelings. Do you suppose that the scribes and Pharisees that listened to this knew exactly what he was saying?
Well, when we get to... I can't hold back. When we get to verse 28 of chapter 8...
And we will. And we will.
They will have seen this already.
Yes. We're laying the groundwork for it. Patience.
I know.
Verse number 19 once again. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. What sayings? I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. The hirelings, they care not for the sheep. Do you suppose that the scribes and Pharisees knew who the hirelings were? Verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again. Does that imply that there's been a division before? Sure does. Were some of the Pharisees saved? I think, yeah, sure. Of course. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Now, why would they have said that? Because others said in verse number 21, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. And then to back up that statement, they say, can a devil open the eyes of the blind? What does the devil do? He tries to close the eyes of men. He causes blindness. Well, here we see a physical case where a person was physically blind that Jesus gives physical sight to, and what's the upshot of that miracle? If he can give physical sight, he can also give spiritual sight, of course. So why do you suppose that many of them in verse number 20 would say, he hath a devil and is mad, why hear ye him? Why would they have said such a thing in the face of all of the evidence that's accrued even up to this point in our Lord's ministry?
They don't want to believe, and they're blind.
Of course, but what do you suppose might have lit a fire under them to say that?
The very devil himself.
Well, yes, but... could you relate it to what he said in verse number 12? Do you think that they knew who the hireling was? Of course they did.
Yeah.
Verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. What did he just say about these that were supposed to be the teachers? You're just a bunch of hirelings. You're feathering your own nests. Religion is a racket for you. And you don't care that the people that you're supposed to be teaching the truth are not receiving the truth. Do you suppose that might have lit a fire under them? Why would they say in verse number 20, he hath a devil and is mad?
Because it's actually what's going on with them.
Of course. Do you think this is a case of projection? Well, of course it is. It's really pretty simple when you stop and think about it. This is what has stirred them up. By the way, has Jesus ever said anything like this to the scribes and Pharisees at other times? Oh, boy, has he ever. Yeah. Well, let's go to Matthew 23 in verse 34. Matthew 23 in verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias the son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all of these things shall come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I go my way, and ye shall seek me. What is his way? Well, if you back up, you find out who he's talking to. Let's just look at verse number 27 to establish the background of what's happening in this scene. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Who's he talking to? The scribes and Pharisees, the very ones that have raised an objection in the temple in John chapter 8. Same ones. Verse 33, he gentles it down. He's going to win them over with some sweet talk. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Did he leave the door cracked open for them? Does this imply maybe they could escape the damnation of hell? Yes, he asked them the question, though, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Well, let's consider what he says here. Verse 34, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Well, let's back up here. Do they have a track record of doing this already? Which of the prophets had their fathers not persecuted? So you have history from the past. And now he's making a prophecy here. Some of them you shall kill and crucify. Who might you include in this? Because he did leave the door cracked open. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Well, we can't change the past. What's done is done. But what about the future? What does he tell them that the future portends? Well, I'm going to send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify. I'd like some examples.
Last I checked, John the Baptist finished off his head on a platter.
Yes? What about Peter? Crucified. How about all the rest of the disciples? With the exception of John.
Yeah, but he didn't necessarily have it easy either.
No, he didn't have it easy, but remember, he's saying some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Who might this be?
Paul.
Of course it's Paul. What did Jesus warn them that the result of that would be? All the righteous blood shed upon the earth shall come upon this generation, verse 36. What does the term "this generation," as it's used here, mean?
It's the generation until the next generation says, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord."
What does generation mean in this context? Generation can mean a couple of different things. What does it mean here? Yeah, it means this generation or the nation of Israel. Doesn't one of the Gospels begin with the generation of Jesus Christ? Sure does. It can mean a period of time, or it can mean a particular people. What are the last words of verse 37? The last three words. Ye would not. Well, there you have it. Ye would not. Is he saying it's a question of the will? It's not whether or not the evidence exists. It's a question of the will. And then John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 39. I go my way. John chapter 5, verse 39. And keep in mind who he's speaking to here. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Here's yet another challenge. I go my way, and ye shall seek me, but ye won't find me. What does he just challenge this same lot to do?
Find out who he really is.
By what means?
Searching
the scriptures. Is he speaking to the scribes? What were the scribes supposed to be doing to make a living? Sure. What did the Pharisees profess that they spent all their time doing? where did they get their teaching, supposedly? Of course, the scribes copied it, but they didn't believe it. The Pharisees purported to teach it, but they twisted it, and they didn't believe it either. Verse number 40, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. Back to our text for this morning. John chapter 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Does he keep giving them chance after chance after chance? Sure. Verse number 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. Well, we've looked at that by comparing Scripture with Scripture, what his way is, and he's very clearly explained that to them, has he not? Are they going to be around to witness him going his way? Are they going to believe? Neither will they believe, though one rose from the dead.
Well, they'll be scared in their body.
Yeah. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, as we see you plead over and over with these scribes and Pharisees, Lord, we know that you so love men that you're long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And Lord, even those that do perish, Lord, they give us a stark example of your boundless love. Lord, we just pray that you teach us that you never force anybody into anything. You persuade. But Lord, it's still an act of the will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.